Good morning, church. Second service, and we had a great first service, and I look forward to what's about to happen here now. If you're visiting with us, we welcome you today. We're glad you're here. If you're watching online, we welcome you as well. It's better in person if you're within range. One of the hardest things about being in the preaching ministry is knowing what to speak about when. There's a million topics. It's a big book. You can talk about a lot of things, and it's kind of hard to narrow down what topic. So we trust the Holy Spirit to guide and to direct on certain topics at certain times. So today I've concluded that sometimes you need to go back to the fundamentals. Sometimes in the middle of all the discussion, and you can go deep, but sometimes it's good to go back and just let's look at the foundation that the gospel of Jesus Christ is built upon. And that's what we're going to do today. But I'm going to tell you up front, it's a heavy foundation. And some of you will struggle in the beginning, but I'm asking you to stay with me to understand these foundational truths that are the fundamentals of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I want to pray first. Father, I thank you for today. And I pray, Father, that you would teach us your word. Your word is truth. Your word is life. There is no life without you. So today, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in the name of Jesus, come amongst us and show us who you are. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen. I was there that day. St. Joseph Hospital, 1990. When Dr. Hovind told my younger brother, Kelly, that he had AIDS. Dr. Hovind told Kelly that there was no cure and that he would surely die from this disease. There were two of us in the room, my brother Kelly and I, and he was devastated and so was I. That diagnosis was 35 years ago. Before they had developed any effective treatment for AIDS. And the doctor was right. My brother Kelly died on October 11th, 1992, at the age of 34. He died from AIDS because at that time there was no cure, there was no remedy from the disease of AIDS. No cure. Some of you in the room right now have had similar experiences with loved ones, where a loved one has gone to the doctor, they've ran some tests and diagnosed something in which the doctor looks you in the eye and says, there is no cure. You're going to die from this. And some of you in the room right now, you're under that curse right now. Maybe it was a cancer. Maybe it was a heart problem. Maybe it was something else, a blood sickness. And the doctors diagnosed it, but there is no cure. There is no remedy. You will die from this. It's a heavy burden to carry, to be diagnosed with something that is sure and certain death. It's a heavy burden. My brother carried it for a couple of years before he died. It's a heavy thing to walk around knowing that in front of you, in the near future, is a grave, and you're going to go into that grave. It's a heavy thing. A grave that has no remedy. A grave that's cause has no cure. It's a heavy thing. Some of you are moved right now by the tragic story of my brother who died from a disease without a cure at a very young age, at the age of 34. A sickness that had no cure and no remedy. And why? It moves the human soul. When you hear of such a circumstance of a young death, it moves your soul. Of course it does. And some of you are moved right now by the stories of those around you, some friends and family members in the room, in your close relationships that are suffering from a sickness and a disease that the doctor has looked them in the eye and says, there is no cure, there is no remedy. You will die from this. Yes, it's a heavy thing. And yes, it's a heavy burden for anyone to carry. To die without a cure. To die without a remedy. It is this truth that has gathered us into the room today. Maybe you don't know it. Maybe you don't understand why I would say that. But let me be clear. I'm talking about the fundamentals of the gospel of Jesus Christ today. It is this truth that has gathered all of us here today. Death is certain for all mankind, and there is no cure, there is no remedy to be found upon this earth. And that's the truth. You may disagree with me on a million things, but you will not disagree with me on this. Death is coming. It's sure and it's certain. Nobody lives to be 130. It's true. It's just true. You may argue and disagree on a lot of things in life, but out in front of us, there's a grave. Death entered our world in the beginning. A sickness without a cure. A sickness without a remedy. Everyone had it, and everyone died from it. The sickness was sin. And maybe you might agree that everyone dies, but maybe you're in the room today and you've not yet come to this simple gospel fundamental conclusion. Sin is the cause of all death. If you could remove sin, you could remove death, but you can't remove sin, so death is sure. That's the problem of all mankind. Everyone had it in the beginning. Everyone died from it. The sickness is sin, and the result is death. There is no cure. There is no remedy to be found upon this earth. This was the condition of man in the beginning. And this is the condition of man today in 2025. We are all dying. Walking toward a grave without a cure and without a remedy. No one will escape the grave. All humanity has contracted a sickness that has no cure and no remedy upon this earth. In Romans 5:12, I don't know how you could be more plain. When Adam sinned, sin entered the world. Adam's sin brought death, so death spread to everyone, for everyone sinned. This is the absolute truth. Now, you have to come to a simple conclusion on this verse. Either this is absolutely true or this is absolutely a lie. It can't be both. Now, I believe today this is truth. This is the fundamental of the gospel of Jesus Christ. You can pretend that Adam and Eve were not real. Some of you may be doing that. And you'll still die from the disease called sin. You can deny that you are a direct descendant of Adam, and you will still die from this disease called sin. We've all been infected by the sickness called sin, and there is no cure and there is no remedy to be found upon this earth. We are all walking toward the grave because of sin, and there is no cure. There is no remedy to be found upon this earth. Everyone before us has died, and everyone today is going to die. We're all walking toward a grave. There is no cure and remedy upon this earth. Now, how's that for a happy Sunday sermon? And if I stopped there, we would be miserable among all people. But I told you today's message is the fundamental of the gospel of Jesus Christ. So I don't stop there. I begin there with that truth. It is the foundation of all humanity. We are all infected by a sickness called sin. And through Adam, sin entered the world, and through Adam, everybody's going to die. I didn't say there was no cure. I said there was no cure on earth for the disease of sin that leads to death. There is a cure. There is a remedy. But it didn't come from man, and it didn't come from the earth. It came from heaven. when God became a man, when the God of heaven became a man and came to the earth. And I want you to visualize the spiritual picture. When God, the creator of the universe, became a human and came to the earth to bring the cure, the remedy to sin and death. This is the gospel of Jesus Christ. John chapter 1, verse 14. So the Word became a human. You understand the Word, the W is a capital letter. In the original text, it signified deity. So God is the Word, became a human. And he made his home on earth. He moves from heaven to the earth and made his home among us. And he is full of unfailing love. That's the only reason he would come to a planet that is filled with dying people. And he's full of unfailing love and faithfulness. And we've seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. The Word is the Father's one and only Son, and the Word became a human and came to earth. This is the fundamental of the gospel. The Word was with God, and the Word was God in the beginning. And God became a man, a human, and moved into our world of sin and death. And you have to ask the question, why? There's no sin and death in heaven. Why? Why come here? He saw that we were all dying. We all had the sickness, and there's no cure on earth, no remedy on the earth. So the Word became a man so that he might bring the cure, the remedy to the earth. He's going to bring life out of heaven and put it upon the earth, a cure to sin and death. The Apostle John introduces him as the Word. And you and I know him as Jesus. Jesus came from heaven to bring the cure, the remedy to the earth, the cure to the disease that had brought death to all mankind. It's almost like this mathematical equation that's constant and absolute. Sin equals death. It's constant. It's everywhere. It's unchangeable. And God, the Creator, saw that everyone on earth is dying because everyone on earth has been corrupted with a sickness called sin. So God becomes a man and moves from heaven to earth to bring a cure, to bring a remedy. Jesus came to save us from the consequences of sin. The consequence of sin has always been the same. It's not new. It didn't change. The consequence of sin is you're going to die. Certain death, death without a cure, death without a remedy. Jesus, let me make this clear. We're in the fundamentals of the gospel. Jesus became the cure. He didn't come to carry the cure. He came as the cure. Jesus is the cure. Jesus became the remedy. His body and his blood, we participated in that a few moments ago in communion. His body, his blood became the cure. He becomes the remedy. And that's why we call it the gospel of Jesus Christ. You know what the word gospel means? The word gospel means good news. Tell me of any good news you've ever heard on the earth that is bigger than this. God, the Creator, came to the earth to cure people's sickness that was leading them to death. It's the biggest big good news of all good news. This is good news. Who wouldn't like to know this good news? There is now a cure, a remedy for death. It came from heaven, but now it is available on earth. But listen, for a limited time. Sounds like a TV commercial. For a limited time. But I'm telling you the truth. There is a cure for death. It has been delivered to the earth by way of Jesus, the Son of God, for a limited time. Today I speak absolute truth to you. This cure to death is available, but for a limited time. This rescue mission of God was not an afterthought, no. It was planned before the foundations of the earth. In the Old Testament, yes, even in the time of Adam and Cain and Abel, there were blood sacrifices to atone for the sin that causes death. These animal sacrifices weren't the cure. They were only an atonement, something to hold back the final judgment until the cure, until the remedy arrived upon the earth. Let me put it this way. Did you ever wonder why Abel was offering an animal sacrifice in the beginning in the book of Genesis? Why is Abel offering an animal sacrifice to God? Did you ever wonder why that sacrifice of Abel made his brother Cain so angry, angry enough that he murdered his brother? Let me take it a little deeper. Did you ever wonder why animal blood sacrifices were required in the law of Moses? In fact, if you look at the story of man from the time of Adam and Eve all the way up to the time of the law of Moses, what do you see? Blood, 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 blood. Animal sacrifices spilling the blood. Animal sacrifices spilling the blood. Why? What's it all about? Why? Why was Abel making an animal sacrifice? Why was Cain's grain sacrifice rejected? Because it wasn't blood. You see, the Bible says life is in the blood. And this atoning sacrifice that began with Abel actually began with Adam and Eve in the garden when an animal's skin was shed to cover their shameful nakedness. You ready? Life for life. A spiritual transaction, life for life. Grain for life won't cut it. It'll require life for life. To pay for life must take a life. And the animal blood didn't cure the sin, but it atoned for the sin and held back the judgment of God. This is how it's explained in the New Testament in the church age. Let's read this carefully. Hebrews 10. The old system under the law of Moses. Let me describe it in this way. Blood, 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 blood. Animal sacrifice after animal sacrifice. The old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The animal sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year. But they were never able to provide perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. If they could have provided perfect cleansing, the animal sacrifices would have stopped. For the worshipers would have been purified once and for all time. One animal, one blood of a bull would have fixed me forever, but it didn't work like that. It's an atonement, not a payment in full. And their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. But instead, those sacrifices actually reminded them of their sins year after year. It's interesting to me that this past week in Israel, they celebrated the Day of Atonement. It's called Yom Kippur. And the Day of Atonement on the Jewish calendar was the one day a year that the high priest would enter behind the veil, and he would go in behind the veil with what? Blood. And he would sprinkle the blood on the altar. And what did it do? It would pay the sin debt of Israel for one year. And next year, he would have to take more blood in and do it again. And every year, they would offer an atoning sacrifice for the people of Israel, and it had to be blood. They did it once a year. That happened, and they're not doing blood sacrifices in Israel now. They celebrate the holiday, but not the blood sacrifice. Why? There's no temple. And because there's no temple, they can't offer sacrifices outside the temple. That would be a violation. Here comes the truth. Look at verse 4. For it is not possible for the blood of bulls and goats to take away sin. It can atone for sin, and it did for generations, but it couldn't take away your sins. That is why when Christ came into the world, he said to God, "You did not want animal sacrifices. Blood, 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 blood. You did not want animal sacrifices or sin offerings, but you have given me a body to offer." The Word became flesh. You didn't want more bulls and goats to die. Life for life. So you gave me, Jesus talking about the Father, you gave me a body. You made me a man to offer. You were not pleased with burnt offerings or other offerings for sin. And then I, Jesus, said, "Look, I have come to do your will, O God, as it is written about me in the scriptures." There it is. I just read to you the cure. I just read to you the remedy. You, Father, gave me, the Son, a body to offer. Life for life. Blood for blood. The animal sacrifices from Adam to Christ were there to atone, to hold back God's judgment. But they were not the cure. They were not the remedy. Moses told them. Moses knew. Moses is the one that God instituted all the animal sacrifices through. He gave him the law. He told him about Yom Kippur and the Day of Atonement. And once a year, the priest had to go and make a payment or all the people will die. Moses knew, but Moses also knew what was coming. Moses told them that there was one coming after him. They called him the Messiah. We call him the Christ. It's the same meaning. And Moses said this, "When he comes, you must listen to him or you will die." When he comes, you must listen to him or you will die. He is the cure. He is the remedy. But you must listen to him. If you're going to experience the cure, if you're going to experience the remedy, you must listen to him when he comes. There's one coming. But you have to listen to him. Deuteronomy 18:15. Let me read it to you. Moses continued, "The Lord your God will raise up for you a prophet like me from among your fellow Israelites." He'll be Jewish. You must listen to him. Now for the big question today. It's the big question in the time of Moses. It's the big question right now in 2025. Did the people see the cure? Did they recognize the remedy of God and accept it with rejoicing and thanksgiving and worship? When Jesus comes, when Moses announces the coming of Messiah, and then the Messiah comes, and now the Messiah has come, we wait for him to come again. Here's the question. Did the people now, seeing the cure has come, did they celebrate the cure with thanksgiving and worship and praise? No. No. Did they listen to Moses, and will the people listen now? You see, here's the irony. Nobody wants to die. So using human logic, if no one wants to die, and the announcement is made that there's a cure that has come from heaven, everybody would celebrate the cure from heaven. But that's not what happened, is it? And that's not what's happening right now. Are people not dying anymore? No, people are still dying. Is there still a cure that's come from heaven? Yes, but no one is celebrating it. Why? 2 Chronicles 36:15. Listen carefully. "The Lord, the God of their fathers, sent word to them through his messengers again and again and again and again and again." Read the Old Testament. God sends messengers with the good news, right? God has a plan to redeem his people. First, it'll be animal sacrifices, and they will atone for the sin of the people until the Messiah comes. Because he had pity on the people and on his dwelling place. Why pity? Because everyone's dying. Death is everywhere. But they mocked God's messengers. And they despised his words. I'm going to hold it up. And they despised his words, and they scoffed at his prophets until the wrath of the Lord was aroused against his people, and there was no remedy. They despised his word. Sound familiar today? You can't bring this into the public school system, right? You can't bring this in here. They despised the word. The word that is life itself. They despised the word. They despised the remedy. They mocked the prophets. They mocked the messengers. But everybody's dying. The cure. The cure in the Old Testament was the word of God through the prophets, the messengers of God. But the people of Israel rebelled against the word. They rebelled against the cure. They rebelled against the remedy. And what did they end up doing? When they rebelled against the word of Moses, what did they do? They ended up putting their trust in the temporary solution instead of the permanent solution. They began to trust in the blood of bulls and goats to save them from death. But it can't, because the blood of animals cannot remove your sins. It's not enough. This rebellion against the word, the messengers and the prophets, led to God's wrath to Israel, and there at that point was no remedy. Israel reached a point of no return. Rejecting the word, and I want to hold it up so that you understand what I'm referring to. Rejecting the word was equal to rejecting the cure. Rejecting the word is equal to rejecting the cure. Why? Because the word became human. The word became flesh. And to reject the word is to reject the remedy, the cure. Their sins would not be atoned for, and they would die in their sins without a cure, without a remedy. So let's go back to my opening statement today. It's a very heavy thing to know that you're walking toward a grave without a cure, without a remedy. Today, right now, it's a heavy thing. I gave you the example of my brother. There are people in the church right now struggling with the same death sentence, physical death sentence. It's a heavy thing to walk toward a grave without a remedy. It's heavy. God's word is the cure. Today I declare this truth. God's cure is God's word. God's word is our remedy. Rejecting God's word is to reject God's remedy. And it happens a lot. The word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. So let me give you some examples. In Proverbs 6:15, therefore, disaster. What happens if you reject the word? That's what these scriptures. Moses came and gave them a word. Preachers today come and they give out a word. There's a remedy. There's a cure to death, and you're all dying. It's the fundamental of the gospel. Therefore, disaster will overtake him in an instant. He will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. You reject the word, you will suddenly be destroyed. Go to the next one, Jeremiah 30. This is what the Lord says. Your wound is incurable. Your injury beyond healing. There is no one to plead your cause, no remedy for your sore, no healing for you. I like to listen to old Billy Graham sermons. I've been doing this for probably a little over a year, maybe 2 years now. It's on Sirius XM. There's a special channel, and it's just old Billy Graham sermons, just in a loop, a lot of different sermons from the 1960s and the 70s and the 80s and the 90s. And I noticed something when I started listening to him a lot in the car. There's one scripture that he always quoted. Not all the time, but no matter what the sermon, no matter what the application, there was one verse. So I started studying that one verse. Here's the verse. It's Proverbs 29. Whoever remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. He said that over and over throughout his sermons throughout 40 years of ministry. And I want to look at that for a moment. Whoever remains stiff-necked, you know what that means? That's not what you do when you get a chiropractor issue, right? This is a spiritual problem that you refuse to turn from your course. You are stuck in this world and you're not turning anything. Repentance is to turn your neck, but you're not going to repent. You're stiff-necked. You're hard-hearted. But here's what the word says. Whoever remains in this condition, whoever is stiff-necked, after many rebukes, after sitting through many sermons, hearing many preachers, hearing many warnings, will suddenly be cut off without remedy. You'll be destroyed. It'll happen quickly. It'll happen suddenly because you never turned your head away from the world toward God, you stiff-necked people. Go back and read the story of Israel over and over and over. He said, you stiff-necked people. I sent prophet after prophet after prophet, preacher after preacher after preacher. You watch people die and you think it'll never happen to you. You will be suddenly cut off and destroyed without remedy. Today I can tell you about the cure to death. I told you today's the fundamentals of the gospel message. I can tell you today about the cure to death. I can reveal to you the remedy of God from heaven that cures, listen to me, it cures sin, death, grave, and hell. I can tell you all four. It is the cure. He is the person, Jesus Christ. But if you harden your heart against the word of God, if you harden your heart, something is going to happen to you. Your heart will become so hardened, listen, so hardened that you will no longer be able to hear God's word to you. If you continue to reject the word, continue to reject the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ, it's like it becomes calloused. And eventually, it will no longer affect you in any way. And I hear God's voice calling out this truth. A man who remains stiff-necked after many rebukes will suddenly be destroyed without remedy. Today, God's word is calling out. Right now in this room, we live in difficult times. Even unbelievers know something's coming. The world knows, even the unbelieving world knows, something's coming. Today's God's word is calling out, do not harden your heart toward the cure, the remedy, the Messiah that came from heaven to save you from sin, from death, from grave, from hell. Don't do it. In the book of Hebrews, this is New Testament. This is a message to the church. This is a message to us. Here's what he says. That's why the Holy Spirit says today, right now, when you hear his voice, when the Holy Spirit speaks to you, don't harden your hearts, you stiff-necked people. Don't harden your hearts as Israel did when they rebelled, when they tested me in the wilderness. There, your ancestors tested and tried my patience. Even though they saw my miracles for 40 years. So I, God, was angry with them and I said, their hearts always turn away from me. They refuse. Listen. They refuse to do what I tell them. I told you a moment ago, the issue of being stiff-necked is that all you can face is the world and you won't turn your neck. You won't turn your face to see God. You just stiff-neck yourself toward the world. In the New Testament, in the Old Testament, it was called repentance. They won't do what I tell them. You know what he tells them? Repent. Turn your neck. Quit facing the world and face God. But I don't want to face God, and I certainly don't want to repent. Then you will be cut off and destroyed without remedy. You know what Jesus' first sermon is in the Bible? His first recorded sermon is this: repent of your sins and turn to God, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Turn your stiff neck. So he says, they refuse to do what I asked them. So in my anger, I took an oath. They will never enter my place of rest. Everybody listen. This is your death sentence right here. When God takes an oath, and the oath is, unless you repent of your stiff neck and turn to me and do what is right, I will take an oath. You will never enter my place of rest. You have just received the sentence of death. He cannot change his mind. He cannot change his word. You have received the death sentence. Be careful, verse 12. Be careful then, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. There's the death sentence. You must warn each other every day while it is still today, so that none of you will be deceived by sin and hardened against God. For if we are faithful to the end and trusting God just as firmly as when we first believed, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. We will share. If you're faithful to the end, we will share in all that belongs to Christ. What belongs to Christ that you need? Eternal life. What are you going to do without it? Eternal death. If you're faithful to the end, serving God like you did when you first believed, you will share in everything he offers you. Verse 15, remember what it says. Today when you hear his voice, don't harden your hearts as they did in the rebellion. Can you hear him today? I'm asking. Can you hear the word today? What is the word of God doing to you right now? Well, I'm speaking to you. The truth is, there are people sitting in this room right now, you're ignoring every word I'm saying. You have no intention of repenting. You have no intention of listening. You're here for some religion. You're playing the most dangerous game ever played on earth. You think you can be God by yourself. You can be your own God. Are you dying? Do you know the cure? Do you know the remedy? Are you sure? You don't have to be old to die. And what about the coming of the Lord? Does it matter how old you are when he comes? Today I declare to you this, the cure to death is a person. It's not a vaccine. It's not a medical doctor or a procedure. It's a person. His name is Jesus. I want you to listen now to Jesus' prayer for you. He prayed this before he went to the cross to save you. He prayed this before he went to the cross to save me. John 17, 1. After saying all these things, Jesus looks up to heaven. He's looking to his Father and he says, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so that you can give glory. He can give glory back to you. For you have given him authority over everyone. He gives eternal life. That's what you and I need today. Listen, this is the issue. This is the issue. Eternal life. If you have eternal life, death's no longer your problem. He gives eternal life to each one you have given him, and this is the way to have eternal life. Here it comes. Jesus says, this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent to the earth. To know the Word is to know Jesus. Let me do it like this. To know the Word is to know Jesus. To know Jesus is to know the Father, and to know the Father is eternal life. This is the cure and this is the remedy. But you have to come to the Father God's way. You can't come to the Father your way. You have to come to the Father God's way. You must come to the Father through the cure, through Jesus. You must come to the Father through the remedy, through Jesus. Jesus' blood on the cross. You must come through the blood. Knowing Jesus is to know the cure, to take hold of the remedy of sin, death, grave, and hell, to know the Word. I'm holding up the Bible. To know the Word is to know Jesus. How would you know Jesus apart from this? You wouldn't, would you? How would you know anything about Jesus apart from this book? To know the Word is to know Jesus. To know Jesus is to know the Father. To know the Father's to know eternal life. There it is. The gospel of Jesus Christ, the cure and remedy of sin, death, grave, and hell. This is the next line in Jesus' prayer to the Father. Verse 4. I brought glory to you here on earth by completing the work you gave me to do. Now, Father, bring me into the glory we shared before the world began. And I have revealed you to the ones you gave me from this world. They were always yours, and you gave them to me. You gave them to me, and listen carefully. You gave them to me, and they have done something. They have kept your word. They have kept your word. Now, they know everything I have is a gift from you, Father. For I have passed on to them what? What did he pass on to us? The message, and I'm holding it up. I passed on to them the message that you gave me. They accepted the message. I'm holding it up. Listen, how you treat this, how you look at this, how you see this. I have given them the message you gave me, and they accepted it, and I know, and they know that I came from you, and they believe you sent me. This is the cure from heaven. My prayer is not for the world, but for those you have given me, because they belong to you, and all who are mine belong to you, and you have given them to me, so they bring me glory. Now, here's my closing. If you look at today's message, you see this scene. Put that scene back up. If you see this scene and think, what a terrible topic. If you see this message today and all you can see is some horrible hospital scene. If you hear these words today and you think, what a depressing message. Why would you do this message? My answer to you is this. You still don't get it. You still have no clue whatsoever what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. Why? Because you need to understand in the spiritual picture, that's you. That's you. You see, I acknowledge this truth openly without apology. I was dead and now I'm alive. I was lost and now I'm found. I was blind, but now I can see. I was filled with sin and bitterness, and I was heading for a grave, and on the other side of that grave is the darkness of hell itself. And God revealed the cure to me through the gospel of Jesus Christ. So when I look at this message and I talk about the fundamentals of the gospel of Jesus Christ, I'm not depressed at all. You know what I am? I'm a celebration. I'm a celebration because I know what it is. I know who I used to be and I know who I am now. I know my destination before and I know my destination now. And now I am a blood-bought child of the Most High God, redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. God, listen, God doesn't want you to die. Some of you are dying, but he doesn't want you to die. He gives you the cure to death. And he says, repent of your sins and turn to me. But you won't. But you won't. You refuse. You stiff-necked people. And you will die in your sins if you don't. And that is the truth. And that is the gospel of Jesus Christ. God loves you so much that he gave his one and only son so that you would not perish and die and be separated from him in hell. He can cure your mortal wound. He can fix your future. God doesn't want you to die. So, ready? He died in your place. He died in your place. Let me ask you just a simple question. What do you think the Father's going to do when he executed his son to save you and your life mocks his son? What do you think he's going to do? What do you think he should do? What's justice look like in your mind? God doesn't want you to die, so he died in your place, becoming your cure by removing your sins and placing all the sins of the world on him. Do you know what that looked like? Now, I'm going to read a verse to you, and I'm going to tell you before I read it, my mind cannot hardly comprehend it. I believe it all by faith, but I have tried to comprehend it, and I'm struggling. 1 Peter chapter 2. He never sinned, Jesus, perfect man, nor ever deceived anyone. He did not retaliate when he was insulted. He didn't threaten revenge when he suffered. He left his case in the hands of God, who always judges fairly. He personally, listen, here's the part my mind can't comprehend. He personally carried my sins in his body on the cross. When Jesus willingly went to the cross, he carried Terry Cooper's sins in his body on that tree when they drove nails in his hands. So that we can be dead to sin and live for what is right, and by his wounds, those nail prints in his hands, that spear in his side, by the crown of thorns, by his wounds, Terry Cooper was healed. I'm cured. He is the remedy. And once you were like sheep who wandered away. You know how I like to describe those sheep? They're the walking dead. There's some in the room right now. You are sheep that are walking away from God, and you have no idea because you're so deceived that you don't know that you're the walking dead walking away from life. You're the walking dead walking away from life. And right now you hear me say that and you think, I wonder what I'll do this afternoon after church. Like it makes no difference whatsoever. Once you were like sheep who wandered away, but now you have turned to your shepherd, the guardian of your soul. There it is. The cure and the remedy of certain and sure death. I've given it to you today. Now, I want to be very clear and concise what I'm about to say, because some of you will surely take it wrong. I'm going to look at all of you in the face. I'm going to do this right now. I want you to understand that if you die, if you're in the room right now and you die an eternal death, and you are forever separated from God in hell, it is not my fault. It won't be on me. I'm not being arrogant, I'm speaking the truth. I join with the Apostle Paul, because he said it before I said it. He said this, I declare to you today that I have been faithful. If anyone suffers eternal death, that's hell, it's not my fault. For I didn't shrink from declaring all that God wants you to know. I have not taken back or held back anything that the Holy Spirit has told me to tell you today. I love you enough to tell you the truth, but I want you to know this. If in the future, when the judgment of God comes and you are cast into the lake of fire, it won't be because I didn't tell you the truth. It's because of you. You did it. And number two, if in the future you die an eternal death, it won't be my fault and it won't be God's fault. It'll be because of your hardened heart. 2 Corinthians 4:3. Listen carefully. If the gospel news, if the good news we preach right now, that I'm preaching today, if it is hidden behind a veil, you just don't get it. If it is hidden behind a veil, it's hidden only from people who are perishing. If you're in the room right now and you're clueless, I want you to know It's hidden from those who are perishing. Why are you perishing? Look at the next verse. Satan, who is the god of this world, has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. You can't hear, you can't see. They are unable to see the glorious light of the good news. They don't understand this message about the glory of Christ, who is the exact likeness of God. Let me give you an example of how Satan has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. What did Satan say to Eve in the Garden of Eden? You won't die. Same thing now, right? What's different? You won't die. You'll survive this. No, you won't. No, you won't. Not without Jesus. Jesus is the cure, the remedy of certain death. You will die in your sins without this remedy, without Jesus. If you reject the remedy, there is no remedy. There is nothing on earth that can save you. Nothing on earth is going to save you from death. Nothing. Why? Because everyone on earth is dying. Listen carefully. And no one on earth is coming to help you or to save you. Everyone on earth is dying. In fact, what's interesting to me when I study prophecy, you know what happens in the last days? The Apostle John says, you've heard that Antichrist is coming, the singular man, Antichrist. You've heard that Antichrist is coming, even many such Antichrists, the spirit of Antichrist is already on the earth. But the Antichrist, the person, is coming. You know why people will follow the Antichrist and say, who is like the beast? And they all worship the beast. You know why that happens? Because they believe the Antichrist has come to save them. He's a liar, because he will come in the tribulation to damn you, not to save you. He will come to damn you, forever lost. There is only one who can save you, and he's not from earth. He's from heaven. The one who comes to save from the earth is the Antichrist, and if you follow and believe him, you will be lost forever. One more time, I want to read this Billy Graham quoted verse. A man who remains stiff-necked, you're not going to turn. You're not going to repent. That sin that you're in, you love it. You have no plan whatsoever. You're ignoring me. That's okay. I'm not your judge. The man that remains stiff-necked after many rebukes, many sermons, will suddenly be destroyed without a remedy. And for those in the room today, you have repented. You have turned to God. You believe the Word of God reveals the Son of God, who reveals the Father, who gives eternal life. You have put your entire life, your faith in Him, and to the best of your ability, you believe the Word and follow the Word and obey the Word. And to the rest of you, we celebrate today. This message is not depressing. This message is our life, because we were dead and now we're alive. We were lost and now we're found. We were blind, but now we see. And I give you this counsel: worship him, abide in him, serve him with rejoicing and gladness, for we will very soon, are you ready? We will meet him face to face. Very soon, we will meet him face to face. So hold on. Hold on. The book of Hebrews says, worship him with thanksgiving, holy awe, and fear. Fear. We will meet him one day. So I want to do this. I want to, as an act of worship, I want to read this Psalms 100 together. I want you all to read it out loud with me. This is our, when you get it, when you get it that you were dead and now you've been made alive forever. Shout with joy to the Lord, all the earth. Worship the Lord with gladness. Come before him with singing with joy. Acknowledge that the Lord is God. He made us and we are his. We are his people, the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Go into his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and praise his name. For the Lord is good. His unfailing love continues forever, and his faithfulness continues to each generation. I'll ask Chad to come out for the invitation. There's a verse inside that Satan has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Satan has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Satan has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. Two things. Number one, you won't die. Ready? That's what he told Eve. You won't die. You can deal with that later. You won't die. You deal with that later. He's blinded the minds of those who don't believe. And number two, there is no hell. He's a liar. You know, Jesus talks more about hell than he does heaven. There is a hell. So listen, if you're in the room today and you think that, well, if I die, I die, I'll just kind of go to a grave, fade to black, unconscious. No, you won't. You're a spirit being. And spirits don't die. And when you suffer eternal death is you're conscious and you're in a place of a lake of burning sulfur, and you're in torment and you're in agony and you can't get out and there's no other choices. You're there forever. If you believed any of that, you'd run to Jesus. I wouldn't have to talk you into anything. You'd run to him. Satan has blinded the minds of those who don't believe. You think you're not going to die and you think there's no one who goes to hell. He's got you. Got you. Hook in the jaw. He's got you. And today the gospel of Jesus Christ says, turn from him and turn to me. And I'll save you. But you don't want to. And you will die in your sins. So we're going to sing a song. The song cries out to behold him. Turn away from the world and behold the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. The invitation is open. Let's stand.